Good morning. Good morning. We're going to be studying spirit, soul, and body today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we just ask for spiritual wisdom and understanding as we study your word. We pray that you will give us spirit understanding that we can know this blessed truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to study two passages of verses today. One from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and Hebrews 11:1. See, everybody's still turning pages. I'll wait a minute here. Hebrews 11:1. We're going to begin with 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And we should pay particular attention to that word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's not holy, that's holy, all one piece. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and whole soul and whole body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse... Oh, pardon me, I think that's Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. It says, now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So we're going to begin in the area of the spirit. And we're going to show the whole body, spirit, soul, and body. And Christianity, but psychology, sociology, psychiatry, you know, they can't tell you the difference between spirit, soul, and body. You know, only the Word of God does that. If you go to Hebrews 4, it says that the Word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to as under of the soul and the spirit, in the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the heart. So what we need to do is we need to understand how to believe for that complete sanctification or separation unto God, spirit, soul, and body. That we can be blameless in our spirit, blameless in our soul, and blameless in our body. Let's begin with creation. You know, we look out the window. You know, we look around. Everything that we can see was in the beginning was the faith of God. God framed the earth and the heavens by his faith. He put it together, put it into motion by the force of his faith. Everything that we can perceive with our five senses, touch, taste, smell, was originally the faith of God. actually born out of the substance of God's faith. And Webster, this is kind of interesting. Webster defines faith, or defines substance, as a real or essential part or element of anything. As anything. So what would the real and essential part or element is God's faith. It's God's faith. It's actually the physical, it's also described as the physical matter of which a thing consists or is material. It says that any chemical composition, any matter was originally the faith of God. It says that substance is a faith. I mean, that faith is substance. It is real. It's real. God used it at his will when he created the world. Now, back to Proverbs. I want to go to Proverbs. It says that he used wisdom and understanding when he put the worlds together. He says that he possessed the wisdom to put the worlds together, then released it with his face, with his faith. And now let's back up a little bit to creation. Let's see something.
Where are we reading from?
Pardon me?
Where are we reading? Proverbs what?
Proverbs 3:19.
Okay.
I didn't think it was that really important to cite, but we can look at it. Proverbs 3:19. It says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens." Now let's just go to 8:23, Proverbs 8:23. It's kind of interesting here. Proverbs 8:23 says, he's speaking of wisdom, he says, "I was set up from the everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no mountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep." See, that's the wisdom. It says that God used his wisdom when he created the earth. So God possessed wisdom when he put the worlds together. Then he released it with the force of his faith. So we go back to creation. You can see that there was no earth. You know, there was nothing but the force of God's faith that actually resided inside of him. God created the worlds. That's what I want you to see. But now, really, you can't really say that he created the worlds out of nothing, because it says that faith is something. Because faith is real. As far as there being any type of matter, there was no matter. As far as there being any earth, there was no earth. It was created completely out of nothing but the faith of God. And you know, people get a weird notion. I don't know how they do that, but they think that God is some big, tall building like the Willis Tower, you know, with his hands as big as the new Ferris wheel. But he's not like that. You know, God is a being that pretty much looks just like we look. If you go to Isaiah 40:12, it says that God created the earth with a 9-inch span. If you go to 40:12. It says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and means measured out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance." So, I looked up the word span in Hebrew. It means 9 inches, a nine inch span. So it says that God created the heavens and the earth with a 9-inch span. A span is from the tip of the thumb to the end of that little finger. That's 9-inch span. So my span is 8.5. I don't know what you guys is, probably a little bit different, but my brother-in-law, he plays basketball. His span is about 14. So you can see that God pretty much was about the same size as us. And when he measured these things out, the heavens and the earth, he used his hands. And we should take notice that also when he did this, when he measured out the spans, there was already the spiritual universe. So he took the earth when he created it and took a little part of that span of the spiritual universe and put the earth in it. But however, that earth is a physical plane governed by physical law. And that spiritual universe is a spiritual plane governed by spiritual law. But they are still connected. It was created inside the spiritual universe of God. So as you can see, the whole universe, the whole spiritual, physical universe consists of spiritual and natural law. You know, man can't figure out how the universe was created. They can't understand how it operates in the physical. They can't understand it. I believe that God used some of the spiritual forces to actually run this universe. How else could it consist? But however, inside this world that we're in is governed and operated by physical law. You know, we're operated by physical law, our bodies. A man actually put it this way: he's subject to physical law on this planet. His body cannot exist outside of this physical universe. He can't do it. He's a physical being. He was created here, and he can't exist anywhere else. If you really look at it, let's look at it this way. The spiritual man is not conformed to the body. The body is conformed to the spirit man. An example, if we can get outside of this body, if we can get outside of this body, if I was to take these clothes off, what you would see, me. In a sense, as these clothes are to cover for my body, and the spirit man is enclosed in flesh. You can't cause Well, it says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, but you can't cause a spirit to cease to exist. You know, that's the world's definition of death, when the body ceases to exist. But a spirit is eternal. And the spirit cannot operate in this physical universe without your body. It's got to have a body. Same way with the body. That body cannot operate in the spiritual universe. It can't do it. That's just like trying to go to the moon. You know, man's got to put on a moon suit. He can't live up there. He wasn't created to live up there. He can't operate up there. If he gets out of that suit, you know, he's gone. Now, if we go back to Genesis, we can see where now God has created the earth. Now he's got a substance to work with. He walks into the garden, creates a man, but it is a miracle in the sense that he created man out of a substance. That substance comes from the earth now. Right from the beginning, when God created the earth, that substance had been there. Just by a miracle, he changed that substance into a meat, bone, blood house, into a man. He created a man out of dust of the earth. And the man's body was created out of dust of the earth, but the spirit man was not. The spirit man was not. But the law of Genesis was at work from the beginning. And everything was producing in the earth. Everything of his own kind. He didn't have to produce another earth or another place. Everything was fine. So as I said, he walks into the garden. He changes the substance of the earth into a meat, blood, bone body. But you got to realize there was a substance there. The substance was producing from the beginning. But notice that the body had no life. The body was a substance. You know, it had a heart, it had lungs, it had eyes, feet, everything. But it was just a body. If he would have stood it up, it would have just fell on the ground. It had no life. It was just a body. But the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that breath of life is actually the spirit man. Now, if you look real close, this is the first mention of spirit, soul, and body. Now, this spirit man, when God breathed into his nostrils, we're going to go back to creation. Out of no prior substance, but the substance of God's faith, he breathed into man's nostrils, and he became a living soul. So this is the first mention of spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. Now, like I said, God did not make man from the dust of the earth. He made the man's body from the dust of the earth. There was no prior substance, but the substance of God's faith until he breathed the life into man. So as you can see right here, the inside of man come from the inside of God. The inside of God, he breathed into the inside of man out of no prior substance but his faith. That's kind of hard to fathom, but you know, we're a part of God. We're a temple of God. Mm-hmm. Man was Man, his spirit was not created from the dust of the earth. And it says, and if you go to Proverbs 4:3, Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart, guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life, the source of life. See, that's the source of man. His spirit. His spirit is what gives him life. That's how man exists. Well, like I said, now you can't cause a spirit to cease to exist. Now, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, they died a spiritual death. But like I said, a spirit cannot cease to exist. But in a sense, when they sinned, it was a spiritual death. It's just like if say we were walking down the street and our feet started to hurt, and you said, "Man, my feet is killing me. My feet are dead." But you know you still have your feet. That's the same way with the spirit man. That spirit man is dead, but he still is conscious. He's there, but he's just not alive. What happened was Satan got in the middle, and he choked off that God line, and he plugged into that sin line, and man continued to sin until eventually he began to die. You know, we can't figure out why the body dies. You know, but every 6-7 years, you know, as your body does that chemical change and your cells reproduce and they get larger and larger, that's what they call aging. And that's death. You age and you die. But the spirit does not cease to exist. So we see that he plugged into fear, sin, and death. Satan got into the middle of them, choked them off. But what I want you to see, in the beginning, man was created in God's image, in God's class. He was created to be and to have actually companionship with deity. He was created actually higher than Satan. Satan was a servant of God. Man was created in God's image, and God wanted him to have companionship with deity in the beginning. But man severed that when he sinned. And Satan, you can imagine Satan, he wanted the preeminence. You can imagine Satan in heaven with God, and God is creating man, and Satan says, Hey, what are you doing? What are you creating man like that for and leaving me like this? I'm a servant. You know what I mean? He says, so that war broke out. Satan wanted the preeminence of Christ. That's what he wanted. He couldn't have that. That belonged to Jesus. He couldn't get that. So he rebels and he's casted down. But the thing I want you to see is that Satan is just like us. He's a spirit being. God's a spirit being, we're a spirit being, and Satan himself is a spirit being. He doesn't really have any authority over us unless we give him authority.
That's right.
We got to give it to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you can imagine Satan himself wanted to be a part of deity, but God wasn't going to allow that. He wasn't going to allow it. He had already had Christ in that position. Now, as we put this body back on, you know, what is the brain when we put this body back on? I'm going to put it back on. You know, what is the brain? The brain is not your mind. Your brain is material. Your mind is immaterial. Your brain is just the physical housing of the mind. You know, when you die, you're going to take your mind with you. It's going with you. What our mind does is it gives us a right of choice to choose while we're here on this earth. While we're in this world, in this physical plane, we have the right to choose. And once we leave this body, we lose that right, because now we're off into the spiritual realm. Now our spirit man has no rights in the spiritual realm. So if you were to leave this world without making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with a capital T, actually. Because you're going to spend eternity with your God Satan or with your Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to make that choice now, here. What happens is when you get off into that spiritual plane, now your soul, your mind is unblinded. You know, Satan blinds the mind. So once you get over there on that different plane, you're going to be able to see Satan, you'll be able to see him, and you'll be able to see God. And what you're going to see is you'll probably see the vastness of God, and you'll see the darkness of darkness, the blackness of blackness. You'll see it. Hell. And, you know, that's the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. And what you're going to see, you're probably going to see Satan. And he'll probably actually speak to you. You'll be standing there and he'll say, "Yeah, that's me." And you'll look at him and he'll say, "Yeah, come on." And you'll say, "No, I know who you are. I'm not going with you." Satan will say, "Oh, yes, you are. You just lost all your rights." You don't have any more rights. So now you're in this bottomless pit. This bottomless pit is really, this is a bottomless pit. When you start falling, you get that sensation of falling, but it never ends. Can you imagine the elevator breaking at the top of the Willis Tower? And you just fall. And you get that sensation of falling. That's what you're going to get. But it's the bottomless pit. You're going to keep falling. It does not end. You know, I was thinking one day, you know, what... I was meditating, and it just comes to me, you know, what is hell in the mind? What is it in the soul? And I just happened to be watching television, and there came on, there was a report to where they had an international team of observers, and they were going around to all these countries, and they were looking into the mental institutions. And they went to this one place in Mexico City. And they went to a place to where it wasn't even a mental hospital. It was a warehouse. And this warehouse didn't even have rooms in them. They had cages in them. And they had little kids, teenagers, old folks. They had everybody lined up in cages. And these cages didn't even have tops on them. The people were inside the cages And they had their hands on the bars, and they were looking through the bars. And, you know, there's a place to where the people have lost their souls. They have no control of their mind, their will. You know, they see grotesque things. You know, they don't know what to do. They can't do anything. These people didn't even have sense enough to climb over the top and get out. Some of them were laying on the floor. Some of them were standing up on the bars. And you can see the top of his head. But he didn't have the know-how to think how to get out of there. Oh, wow. That's hell. That's what you call hell. Here, in the mind. That's hell. But, you know, now sometimes the spirit is like this. You can be almost all the way, almost insane. And all you have to do is accept Jesus, make Jesus the Lord of your life. That's all you got to say. That's all you can do is say, I'm gone. I'm out of it. I don't know what to do. Lord, I make you Lord of my life. What happens is now that spirit man wakes up. You see, he's woke now. So now he accepts Jesus as Lord of his life. The Bible says that any man that is in Christ, or any man that believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ, is born to God. You see? So now it's working, you see? And if you go a little bit further, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, it says that any man that is in Christ is a new creation. You see, behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. You see? So what we have is a new creation, a new order, the body of Christ, and we as members of that body. A totally new creation. Now, what I want you to see out of this new creation is that if we go back to the beginning in the garden, to where when God breathed the breath of life into man out of no prior substance but his faith, here we have in this new creation no prior substance but God's faith. He creates a new man, a new being. And this verse, they say, is so powerful. They say it's the most powerful verse in the Bible. I believe it. It says that any man that is in Christ is a new species of being that never existed before. That's what it's saying. You see, in Christ, in Christ. Nothing but no prior substance but the substance of his faith. Now, it's the inner man that gives the outward man his personality. It's the inner man that gives him his personality and life. If you look at a person that's full of sin, you can actually see it in his face. Because the inner man marks that outward man. And you can look at him and see. But what happens when that man turns and accepts the Lord in his life? You can see that change in his body. You can see the change. Now he's in Christ. He's repented. He's changing. Now he's, you know, he's getting full of the Spirit now. The Holy Spirit comes into his life and basically it convicts him. The Bible says that, Paul says, when he got saved, he said, nevertheless I live, but Christ liveth in me. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless, not me, but Christ in me. See, he's gotten rid of that old man. You know, he's put on Christ now. And he, that's what you call basically the newness of life. A new person in Christ. Crucify that old man. You'll never get rid of him. He's there. But you got to crucify him. But what's happened is when you get into Christ like that, you unplugged that death line. That death line that actually made you fall into sin and death. And now you got that spirit working in you. And I just wanted to just show you some things of the Spirit. A lot of people really don't realize it, but the Holy Spirit is powerful. Just some things. I wrote some down. The most important, I would say, would probably be the law of the Spirit. Because it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So now you got that spirit just working in there. You know, you're full from side to side, top to bottom. Boy, you're going now. But now there's more than that. There's the things of the Spirit. There's the life of the Spirit. There's the mind of the Spirit. There's the power of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit. The demonstration of the Spirit. The ministration of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. Boy, when we get filled with that spirit like that, and that fruit, spiritual fruit comes out, the unity of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, the sanctification of the Spirit. When you get all that working inside of you, boy, you're a changed man. You're a new person. Amen. You know, Paul takes us, thank God for Paul, because he takes us full circle in God's redemptive plan. Through the first Adam came sin and death. Through the second Adam came eternal life. See, Paul took us around full circle and makes us look back to heaven, to where we're supposed to be. He brings us back into that relationship with God. He brings us back into that companionship with deity. It says that we're joint heirs with God. Just thank God so much that He died for our sins and saved us by His grace. Thank God. Well, now I'm just going to close and say that man in the garden, when he sinned, God told him, don't eat off that tree. Because once you eat off that, you're going to surely die. Man disobeys. He eats off that tree. He chooses earthly knowledge or intellectualism as his God. You see? Instead of the true God. So now he's off into a world blinded without the knowledge of God. And Paul, you know, brings us back. You know, he says that blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, we're to look to the heavens, but experientially, you know, we can receive all those blessings and all those promises right here, right now, spiritually, in our body, in our flesh. We can do that. That's walking in the Spirit. What we need to do is get out of our way. Let our body and our soul get out the way of that Spirit man. Because that Spirit man is the one that's contacting the Father. He's the one that's Lord over the human system. You see, the human system, you know, being confined, you know, the spirit man is not confined, not conformed to this body. But now if we let this body or the soul man, if we give him Lord over this human system, now that spirit man is confined to the body. You see, he's confined now. He's shaking, trying to get out of there. He can't get out of this body. And he can't control it. The soul man wasn't meant to control the spiritual body. The spirit man was meant to control it. So in a sense, basically, I'm going to close by saying, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. Man can live in three worlds of existence simultaneously. He can live in a world of the spirit, where he contacts God the Father. He can live in the world of the soul, which is his mind, will, and emotions. He contacts the intellectual realm. And in his physical body, he contacts the physical world. No other being can live in three worlds of existence at the same time. So you can say how beautiful and fearfully we are made. No other creature can enjoy what we enjoy. And I ran into a verse. I think it was Psalms 115:16. You ever wonder why Psalms 116:15? You ever wonder why God didn't create man and let him live up there where he is? You know, it would have been a lot easier if he would have did that. But it says right here in Proverbs, in Psalms 115:16, it says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men." See, he's given us this earth. He's given us dominion to actually be gods over this earth. No, this is our earth. But at the same time, he's given us a relationship and access to his world through the Spirit. We're one spirit with the Lord. And I really can't say other than, you know, we go back to that blameless part again. This is how you're completed, holy, blameless in your body, blameless in your spirit, and blameless in your soul. That's how you get there. That's how you get that. By walking in the Spirit, walking in the counsel of God. Peter says that we can take on the divine nature of God by getting into this Word. He says that we're conformed, that we can be conformed to the express image of Christ if we get into the Word. But we have to plug back in. Nobody can plug in for you. You got to plug in. You got to get your own shovel. You got to get your own pick. You got to do the digging. Nobody can dig for you. You got to do the digging. And as it says, it passes, that peace and understanding passes all the wisdom and knowledge that we can ever think of in this world. And I think I'll end right there. Amen. No, thank you. Thank you. Anybody got any questions?